Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. All right, let me introduce to you my honor students who are here with us this morning to get us started to talk about their honor speeches and present them to you today. Our first student who is up to present her honor speech for us is Talia Johnson. So, Talia, good morning, and start whenever you're ready. Okay. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. So, is running just a sport, something you do for fun, or does it have meaning? Running helps in many ways. I'm sure it can help us all, because we've all been stressed before, right? Running brings healing, relief, and is medicine to many people. It eases your mind, helps with stress, and to maintain a healthy body. Being a Native American, I was always told to go out in the early morning and go run. Beat the sun is what my mom always said. The holy people are out there watching and waiting to see who is wanting more blessings for themselves and who's ready to seek it. Today, I will be going over why running is important and what it can help a lot of people with other than keeping your body healthy. Next, why it's an exercise that will keep you healthy and to maintain it. And finally, why it is important to many Native Americans and why we carry it as a lesson to go run. First and foremost, running is important to many people because they rely on it to improve markers of health. It helps with the stress, it boosts your motivation, it makes many people happy. It's a way of getting away from everything for a while. It's a place where you feel free. For a minute, your worries and stress are gone. A better mood is another benefit of running. Running also leads to better sleep. In life, there are many obstacles you face, just like running. So take this. According to author Labs Goldie, in the year of 2019, he says, "Tough runs don't last, tough runners do." As an inspiration to keep going and face every obstacle head on, just like you would in running. On to my next point. Running is an appealing exercise because it doesn't take a lot to take part in, and you can run at any time that suits you. Running can significantly improve mental health, self-confidence, healthy aging, and a quality of life. According to Health Benefits of Running by the Better Health Channel, running can build strong bones, strengthen muscles, improve cardiovascular fitness, and burn plenty of kilojoules, and help maintain a healthy weight. Running improves physical and mental health, but also keeps your body healthy. Last but not least, running is important to many Native Americans. We carry it as a lesson to go out and run. Growing up, we were told to go out and run in the early morning before the sun comes up. It is a lesson we follow through with because we were always told we couldn't be lazy. Running has been an integral part of many Native American cultures for a millennia. Very particularly, running is in our blood and in our DNA, says Dustin Martin, the executive director of Wings of America, a group that organizes running programs for Native youth. Running gives us a deep understanding of the landscape, the seasons, and for many Native Americans, running is as much a spiritual exercise as a physical one. In conclusion, running is more than just a sport or something people do for fun. It brings joy, happiness, relief, and healing. It continues to keep you healthy and helps you maintain it. And it is very important to Native Americans who hold their traditions close and carry it with them. Overall, the health benefits associated with fennel are overwhelmingly positive and include preventing several diseases and conditions. With that being said, go for a run, make it happen, and be free. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. All right, let's move on to our next honor student this morning, and that's Jamie Poncho. Jamie, we're ready for you whenever you're ready to start. Thank you.
Okay. How many people do you know in our family that have had or had issues with heart, high blood pressure, sodium intake, cardiovascular disease, or had a stroke and didn't know why? What if I told you that 25% of the U.S. adults in the U.S. alone have been diagnosed with or probably did not show any signs or symptoms of it? There are more males than females that are at risk due to this lack of nutritional information and are from lower income families. Hypertension is what I'm referring to. Hypertension is elevated blood pressure. There are three essential types: essential and primary hypertension, which is the most common, secondary hypertension, and malignant hypertension, which occurs very fast and very bad. According to the text from my pathophysiology by Laura Willis, states that essential hypertension usually begins insidiously as a benign disease, then slowly progresses to the malignant state. If untreated, even mild cases can cause major complications and may result in death. By being able to manage, establish a lifestyle change and drug therapy, the prognosis of this can improve and lower your risk to avoid further damage to your body. Secondary hypertension is related to underlying disease such as chronic renal disease and Cushing's disease, which are the two most common diseases. According to the Journal of Clinical Medicine, chronic renal disease is defined as a condition in which the kidneys is damaged and cannot filter the blood properly. Cushing's disease is where a benign tumor in the pituitary gland, which is about a pea-sized shape located in the brain below the hypothalamus. The pituitary gland is responsible for producing, storing, and releasing hormones throughout the body. It is responsible for making cortisol. Cortisol is the main stress hormone. This controls your mood, motivation, and fear. It helps regulate a wide range of vital processes throughout the body, maintaining metabolism and immune response. Signs include fatty deposit around the face and upper back, fat loss in the arms and legs, pink and purple stretch marks due to rapid weight gain. Malignant hypertension is a severe filament or sudden onset of primary or secondary hypertension. According to the American Journal of Hypertension, it states, obesity is the common disorder that affects more than one-third of adult Americans. Its multifactorial mechanism includes activation of the sympathetic and renal system, insulin resistance, abnormal renal sodium handling, which can cause issues in the cardiovascular system and the brain. Upon obtaining more knowledge about hypertension, it is rare for people to understand its effects on the body. Not only does hypertension can affect the heart due to the damage it can cause, but the effects on the kidney, which filters the blood throughout the body, and the brain is also affected hormonally. Have you ever wondered why we stress eat? It is due to the cortisol levels in our brain. It sends a signal to our pituitary gland, letting us know that we're worried about something. The best way to handle that is stress eating. In conclusion, learning about hypertension sounds difficult, and it can be. This is why many Americans are at risk and may not be aware. When it comes to a visit with our family physician annually, the medical assistant takes our vitals. When we get our vitals and we think nothing of it because those numbers are not important, but they should be. There is an important number to remember, 120 over 80. This is considered a normal range on where a person's high blood pressure should be. If the number is too high or too low, then there is a reason to seek the doctor. As a reminder, there are ways in preventing hypertension. Maintaining a healthy weight, learning about nutritional facts, eating more organic foods, reducing your intake of salt to about 1.1 grams per day, limiting the amount of alcohol consumption and less than 2 drinks per day. Increase physical activities to 30 to 60 minutes of vigorous exercise 2 to 4 times a week. Learning to manage stress. Daily relaxation is a brief moment to lower the risk. Take steps to stopping smoking and consult with a doctor about nutritional plans that best to help your body become the healthiest it can be. And to end this with a quote from the Buddha, to keep the body in a healthy, good health is duty. Otherwise, we shall not be able to keep the mind strong and clear. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Very good. And we will hear from our next student this morning, and that is Sarah Scott. Sarah, whenever you're ready to start, we're ready for you. Thank you.
Throughout time and around the world, earrings have held cultural, social, and spiritual meanings. Even now, ear piercing remains one of the most popular forms of body modification, dating back over 7,000 years ago. Earrings have played a large part in the development and knowledge of past cultures and societies in history all over the world. Through the research I have done in preparation for this speech, we will explore the origin of earrings, earring styles throughout history, and the cultural significance and use earrings have. The oldest known use of earrings predates the year 2500 BCE in ancient Mesopotamia, where they were worn by both men and women to establish wealth and status. According to the Smithsonian Institute, vast amounts of gold jewelry were found at the ancient Sumerian royal tombs, which are believed to have belonged to Queen Puad, to match her gold headdress. Her extensive collection of jewelry and semi-precious tombs is what helped elude her to royalty. Evidence of earring wear has been discovered at even the oldest archaeological sites. Most styles found in ancient tombs were made of gold and adorned with jewels such as topaz and sapphire. Earrings were used for cultural and societal purposes for thousands of years and did not become popular in American fashion until the 20th century. According to the New York Times, in the 1920s, after World War I, fashion and jewelry began to take off to express luxury and wealth. An Art Deco style featuring geometric pearls and diamonds were a staple during this time. The diamond and pearl look dominated the earring market for several years until the late 1940s, when demand for materials went down due to the Great Depression. New manufacturing techniques were created to use less expensive materials like plastic and fake gems and replace the diamond and pearl fashion. In the 1960s, the style of earrings changed to colorful plastic earrings that varied in several different shapes and sizes. Trends quickly changed by the 70s, when several types of fashion came into play. The boho look consisted of toned-down neutral colors and mixed materials like beads and feathers were popular. Disco rose into popularity and brought a new big and bold earring trend. Chrome hoop earrings, large fringe with unique patterns and textures, and chunky gold were quite sought after. In the 90s, a pop-punk grunge era took over the scene. The fashion scene was heavily influenced by music and the rise of music videos. The earrings were colorful, bold, and edgy. Unique styles included oversized hoop earrings, large drop earrings, and different colored gems. In the 2000s and 2010s, music continued to dominate the fashion and jewelry industry. Statement and the oversized look continued in popularity. Hoop earrings, studs, and bold gold earrings were in high fashion during this time. Earring trends now still include modernized versions of the styles throughout history. Classic earrings have always remained in circulation, like stud earrings, hoop earrings, and diamond earrings are still in demand today. There are a variety of uses for earrings in diverse cultures throughout time. In many ancient cultures, including Egyptian, Sumerian, and Asian cultures, earrings were seen as a luxury and replaced status and high class, whereas in ancient Rome and Greece, they were seen as a low-class adornment. In ancient Egypt, earrings were not only a fashion statement, but also believed to have protective and healing properties, according to the International Gem Society. Earrings are a part of several distinct cultures of traditional dress. For example, in African cultures, earrings are worn as a symbol of cultural identity or heritage and are typically made from materials like wood, bone, and shells. And in Native American cultures, earrings are often made from turquoise, coral, onyx, porcupine quills, and silver. They are made into different shapes, like animals, feathers, and wave designs. Different tribes wear varying styles of earrings, but most hold the same cultural significance, to symbolize strength, resilience, and spiritual identity. In the Asian cultures, it is believed specific gems and symbols are worn to attract positive energy and prevent bad luck. Even pirates in the 17th and 18th century were known to wear earrings for practical and symbolic reasons. Seamen wore earrings to mark their voyages across the water. Earrings were gifted to sailors to commemorate their first crossing of the equator. Some were convinced earrings held magical healing powers that can improve their eyesight at night, prevent seasickness, and serve as a protective talisman from the uncertainties of the sea. Most notably, they often wore gold or silver hoops worth enough to pay for their funeral had they passed away on their travels. Some were even known to have their home seaport engraved on the earring itself in hopes they would be returned home. In Western culture, earrings are used as a fashion accessory, are worn for self-expression and personal style. There are endless amounts of designs and styles trending at once to cater to all unique styles. Earrings became a means of showcasing beliefs and hobbies like zodiac signs, religious symbols, and small totems. Earrings are woven throughout history and possess significance in culture and in society. To conclude, earrings have had a massive impact on civilizations predating back 7,000 years ago. Earrings have evolved with the changes in fashion and culture and contributed to inspiration and design. They have been used for centuries in diverse ways throughout the world, culturally, socially, and spiritually. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank all three of you for coming in this morning to present your honor speeches. You're one step closer to the end of our class. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you all very much. And we'll be back with more right after this on KSJE.
KSJE is supported by San Juan Regional Medical Center, whose vision is to deliver world-class care, making life better for the communities they are privileged to serve. Offering a comprehensive range of inpatient, outpatient, and emergency care services so residents can live life better here. San Juan Regional Medical Center, community-owned and operated, here for you. KSJE is proud to support Aztec Sparkles, the annual holiday event by the Aztec Chamber of Commerce supporting businesses in Aztec. This year, Aztec Sparkles will include the Catch the Gingerbread Man contest beginning December 4th. Aztec Sparkles will culminate on Saturday, December 9th from 2 to 5 p.m. with the Aztec Christmas Parade at 6 p.m. and tree lighting at Minium Park. Aztec Sparkles, celebrating the holidays in Aztec with the Aztec Chamber of Commerce and local Aztec businesses. KSJE is supported by J.A. Jewelers, wishing everyone a Merry Christmas and blessed holiday season. J.A. Jewelers has been providing custom jewelry, engagement rings, and more for special occasions since 2006. They carry a full line of jewelry for men and women, including wedding bands, gemstone jewelry, watches, and more. J.A. Jewelers, located at 2909 East 20th Street in Farmington. Find out more on Facebook or at jajewels.com.
And back in Studio A this morning, we are hearing from some of my honor students from the fall 2023 semester. They are presenting their honor speeches for us this morning. Our next student is here. Velvina Willis is going to give her honor speech this morning. Velvina, whenever you're ready, okay?
Hi, good morning. This morning, I would like to inform our community of the challenges that volunteer coaches faces. Um, As for me, I think that it's appropriate for me to kind of get the information out there as being part of the assistant coaching staff and also being the wife of a volunteer coach. So I'm going to start off by reading a small letter from a volunteer coach. It says, "Today I heard a comment made about me behind my back. I started to turn around and look, but then decided better of it and keep my eyes on the field. My wife hears things like this more often than I do because many of you do not know who she is. She tells me what you say. I have received angry emails full of suggestions about who should be playing where and how I lost that day's game for the kids. I thought I'd write an open letter to all you parents, even though I might never send it. I'll start it this way. I am a volunteer." And most of these coaches sacrifice a lot of their time out of their daily lives to run practices for these kids after their work duties. You know, it takes time away from their families that they spend with them. And it takes time for them outside to go and research some drills and sessions and stuff on YouTube and on the internet to get ideas to show these kids and to improve them on the sports that they're doing. And it takes a bit of time also, aside from practices, in order to schedule all of those. And it's, you know, you miss out on a lot, seeing family, friends, and they do question, you know, when are you done coaching? Are you going to be done? Do you have time for us? But no, you, as a person, coach, loving the game for themselves also, they set aside all this time to spend with these kids to help them to improve, help them to improve for the game. And another sacrifice that they make is financial and money situations. All of this comes out of their own pocket just to start a team up, you know, just for the equipment and stuff. It's not provided through the city or anything, you know. It's all on the coaches to provide the equipment for these girls and boys to do the sports that they love. And especially if you're on a traveling team, you know, for these coaches to get there for the games, you know, they have to pay for their motel, their gas money, their food. That is their own expense from them, from their own pockets. On the internet, on the website, Character and Leadership, Tom Brady, the quarterback of the New England Patriots, made some interesting comments about the youth travel leagues. "The youth sports, and what I remember from being in youth sports, everything was really localized. There were no travel teams." And that was back then when he was little. And now moving forward, you know, most of these teams are all travel now, and all the expenses can add up. You know, he talked to a mailman who told him that he spent over $10,000 taking his daughter to soccer tournaments over a 3-year period, which he could have saved up for a college fund for his daughter. And the third thing is, you know, coaches finding coachable players, athletes. Some of them, you know, it's kind of hard. This is the personal experience, you know, finding out that, you know, some athletes, their parents have them come out to try out to play because they want them to get out of their shell and stuff. But it has to be up to the athlete to come and want to play, because at times at practices, these athletes don't want to be there, and we have to deal with trying to get them to participate when they don't want to. And it takes time away from the other players that want to be there and want to learn to improve. So, you know, it's hard to have the parents understand, you know, your child has to be coachable and want to be there. You can't force them to be there. And, you know, just having them stay there during a practice to watch their child practice helps them to understand, you know, it's not the coaches. It's, you know, you might want to have a talk with your child and say, you know, is this what you really want to do? And that's the tough part about it. And I just wanted to read the rest of the letter from the volunteer coach that had sent in the letter. It was on the website of Coach Deck LLC that was written by Brian Gada, who had received the volunteer anonymous letter. It says, I'm the one who answered the call when the league said they didn't have enough coaches. I understand that you were too busy. I have some news for you. I'm not retired. I'm busy too. I have other children and a job just like you do. Not only do I not get paid to do this, it costs money. I see you walk up the game 15 minutes after it started, still dressed for work. Do you know I've already been here over an hour? Imagine if you had to work early nearly every day. I've never seen you at practice. I'm sure you're plugged away at the office, but I'm out here on the field trying my best to teach these children how to play sports they love while my bank account suffers. I know I make mistakes. In fact, maybe I'm not even that great of a coach, but I treat the kids fairly and with respect. I am pretty sure they like coming to my practices and games, and without me or someone like me, there'll be no team for them to play on. I'm part of the community too, and it's no picnic being out here on the stages like this. It's a lot easier back there with the other parents where no one is second guessing you. And also, no, you think I give my son or daughter unfair advantages? I try not to. In fact, have you ever considered maybe I'm harder on him or her than on the others? I'm sure he hears plenty of criticism at school from other classmates who hear it from you at home about what a terrible coach I am. And even unconsciously, my kids are getting a slight advantage because I know them better and trust their abilities. Is that wrong thing in the world considering the sacrifices I'm making? And that's just a lot of what volunteer coaches go through. And me putting in my personal experience and being there, you know, it takes a lot for a coach to sacrifice their time from their family, their finances and stuff. And I just, you know, understand the part of the coaches wanting to be there to help these players improve also, because we love the game also.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That is my honor students from the fall semester here at San Juan College and their public speaking classes with me this morning on KSJE.
Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.